Welcome back. It's a Friday, the 26th day of January, 2023. I'm your host, Mark Hall. And as we begin to wrap up what is arguably one of the most significant weeks news-wise in, maybe the country's history, because the parameters, at least, of Civil War 2.0 seem to finally be taking shape as we enter the weekend, I need to start with this story. Courtesy of Zero Hedge and End Wokeness, and I'm sure very soon many others, a coalition of 25 Republican governors have now signed a joint letter in support of the resistance by Texas to the federally sponsored and communist Chinese party and who knows how many other terrorists and international organizations sponsored invasion of the United States across the non-existent southern border. Among other things, like citing the actual text of the Constitution, which makes this point clear, the governor signing the letter agreed that the Biden-Fuhrer has, quote, left Americans and our country completely vulnerable to unprecedented illegal immigration pouring across the southern border. And instead of upholding the rule of law and securing the border, they said, the Biden-Fuhrer has, quote, attacked and sued Texas for stepping up to protect American citizens from historic levels of illegal immigrants, deadly drugs like fentanyl, and terrorists entering our country. And they added, we stand in solidarity with our fellow governor, Greg Abbott, and the state of Texas in utilizing every tool and strategy, including razor wire fences, to secure the border. And the signatories include quite a list. And because this is so important, I will read the list. If your governor is not on here, I think it's fair to ask, why is he supporting treason against these United States? But the governors assigned include Alabama, Alaska, Arkansas, Florida, Georgia, Idaho, Indiana, Iowa, Louisiana, Mississippi, Missouri, Montana, Nebraska, Nevada, New Hampshire, North Dakota, Ohio, Oklahoma, South Carolina, South Dakota, Tennessee, Utah, Virginia, West Virginia, and Wyoming. Much, but sadly not all, of the central United States, aka flyover country, and notably lacking the left coast and other lefter northern left coast, with the exception of New Hampshire. President Trump has weighed into and called for all willing state governors to deploy their National Guards to Texas and remove the illegals back across the border. It needs to happen rapidly, he suggested, and maybe it's already too late, folks, but certainly it would be, as he put it, the largest domestic deportation operation in history. And by the way, folks, if Pakistan can deport almost 2 million illegals from that country, the United States ought to be at least able to follow their lead. And just how bad is it really? Well, folks, it's so bad that 10 retired FBI upper brass and experts in counterintelligence may be trying to demonstrate that they're not the same traitors who lied about the Hunter Biden laptop from hell. They sent a letter, though, to congressional leaders warning that the Biden-Fuhrer regime and his policies have facilitated a soft invasion, as they put it, of military-age men into the United States from terror-linked areas around the world. Well, gee, tell them something they should have known a long time ago, but clearly don't. The letter, written on January 17th, before Texas Governor Greg Abbott invoked the invasion clause of the Constitution, suggests that a terror attack is likely imminent, and of course, so do all the other developments we're watching on a day-by-day basis. Said the letter, the threat we call out today is new and unfamiliar, and in its modern history, the U.S. has never suffered an invasion of the homeland, and yet one is unfolding now, it said. Military-aged men from across the globe, many from countries or regions not friendly to the United States, are landing in waves on our soil by the thousands, not by splashing ashore from a ship or parachuting from a plane, but rather by foot across a border that has been accurately advertised around the world as largely unprotected, with ready access granted, unquote, and hey, they'll even give you goodies once you get here. It would be difficult to overstate, the letter continued, the danger represented by the presence inside our borders of what is comparatively a multi-division army of young single adult males from hostile nations and regions whose background, intent, and allegiance is completely unknown. Well, or worse, folks, it is known in many cases. And no wonder the destroyers want them to come on in. But there's more. How bad is it really? Well, bad enough that even some rhinos are starting to feel the heat and see the light. In Washington, Senate Minority Leader, and he helped make them that way, Mitch McConnell of Kentucky told fellow Republicans in a private meeting concerning Ukraine that the time and political will to pass their bill to sell out the country and protect that border rather than our own is running out. Said the top rhino, politics on this have changed. Unquote, because former President Donald Trump now wants to run his 2024 campaign focusing on what is now recognized as an invasion. Said McConnell, quote, we don't want to do anything to undermine him. Unquote. effectively, says Zero Hedge, backing away from the border security for Ukraine, but not for the United States construct that rhinos have been clinging to for the past couple of months. And finally, folks, let's not forget that a cornered rat is particularly dangerous. From Michael Snyder in The End of the American Dream, the Biden Führer has given Texas Governor Greg Abbott a 24-hour ultimatum, and it's almost up, warning that Texas will, quote, face the consequences if the Texas National Guard doesn't cave into the invasion and stand down, says Snyder, and I think he's on the right track. I don't honestly remember the last time we witnessed any kind of a conflict of this magnitude between the federal government, or what has replaced it, and a state government. And following Abbott's invocation of the actual clauses in the Constitution for these United States that give him every right to do what he's doing, the diaper-wearing puppet strings are getting pretty tight. It probably would have been wise, says Snyder, for Biden just to let this go, but we all knew that wasn't going to happen because the regime appears determined to keep the invasion going and the border wide open. After all, they got a country to finish destroying. Reporter Simon Ataba tells us that the Biden Führer has issued the ultimatum that the federal traitors with wire cutters had better be allowed in or else. Says the sycophant reporter, Biden can federalize Texas National Guard, leaving Abbott with no power to resist federal might, because Biden has the authority to federalize National Guard units, bringing them under the control of the occupying communist insurgency. What a crock of you-know-what. Well, it begs the obvious question, folks. What happens if some, or hopefully all of those troops, refuse to follow the traitorous orders? Answer, the whole situation could potentially, and it's intended to, get really crazy. And, says Snyder, in conclusion, the stage is being set for unprecedented chaos in the major cesspool cities, as if they weren't bad enough already, and Big Brother simply will not be able to control it. But guess what? And this is the point your host keeps making. They don't need to, because the goal is simply destruction, and that will do it. There was some other news this week, and I'm sure you've heard that. It does need to be put in perspective, but let's pick it up with the coverage from midweek. President Donald Trump won the New Hampshire primary, convincingly, something on the order of 55% to 45%. But even those numbers don't tell the real story, because in New Hampshire, you don't actually have to be a registered Republican, whatever that now means, to actually vote in the Republican primary. As a matter of fact, it turns out that even CNN is admitting that something like 70% of Newkey's voters were in fact undeclared rhinos, at best, and more likely, sufferers from Trump derangement syndrome and outright communists. At least those who seem to hate the country almost as much as those pulling the puppet strings of the Biden Führer. Here's what looks like a typical case in point, courtesy again of CNN's exit polling of a man in the street who was asked, who did you vote for? You know the answer.
Nikki Haley.
And why did you vote for Nikki Haley?
It's a vote against Trump. I think it would be better to have her against Biden in the elections than it would be Trump and her.
Do you consider yourself generally independent, Republican, or Democrat?
Democrat.
So when you undeclared, you voted for Nikki Haley. If it was Nikki Haley against Joe Biden in a general election, who are you voting for?
Joe Biden.
So let's see. You'd rather vote for a senile traitor who's double-diapered at both ends than for a rhino traitor who wants to impose tyranny and push the world war into going full nuclear. Well, at least he's more honest than some who want to see the nation destroyed. One who doesn't, though, and who won't be supporting Newcomb Haley, is Senator Rand Paul of Kentucky, who appeared with Tucker Carlson and made his feelings clear. And I gotta admit, I really did love Tucker's introduction, too.
So it's one thing to find Nikki Haley distasteful, to acknowledge that she's a bloodthirsty feminist harpy who should be nowhere near power. Most reasonable people have reached that conclusion. But to start a website, Never Nikki, suggests a level of anti-Nikki commitment that's interesting and worth talking about.
And then he started off with this really great question.
Why were you so inflamed by her campaign that you built this website?
Well, you know, nobody ever accused me of going halfway into anything.
Fair.
And it gets to me at a very basic level. It gets to me when I see people who I think care more about the borders of Ukraine than they care about our own southern border. And I see these people every day because they're the entire Democrat caucus up here, but they're half of my caucus. Half of my Republican caucus is, as we speak, ready to sell out, and they're ready to sell out fake border reform in exchange for what they really want, which is to send more of your tax dollars to Ukraine. I think Nikki Haley fits right in that camp.
Basically, he said she's a rhino, although he didn't use that term. He did say she's from the McConnell Dick Cheney wing.
And this is the antithesis of everything I believe in. I've spent a few years trying to promote the ideas of liberty. There is a wing of the party that believes in that, and I wanted to make sure anybody that follows what I do knows that there's no way, shape, or form I could support Nikki Haley.
And finally, as we begin to mercifully move on from the primary, there is this from Rhino Rona. And when she finally even gets it, you know it's all over but the shouting for the Trump derangement syndrome poster girl. And while not explicitly saying she should drop out, says a piece from the Gateway Pundit, RNC chairwoman Rona McDaniel has urged the former South Carolina governor to drop out of the Republican presidential race after Tuesday night, saying she sees, quote, no math and no path for Haley to win the nomination over the man who will be the nominee, President Donald Trump, and that in fact she should, quote, reflect on her candidacy. She made her remarks in an interview on Fox News, saying the message from voters is that the party needs to, and get this, it is in fact quite an admission, unite, she said, around our eventual nominee who is going to be Donald Trump, unquote. Another woman that, in this case, the rhinos in the deep state really don't like is Arizona Senate candidate Carrie Lake, the woman who was actually elected governor of Arizona, and hopefully you know the story there. But now there's another scandal in Arizona politics that she's shining the light on. She's called out the state's GOP chair, sick, rhino Jeff DeWitt, to resign after a recording emerged of him literally trying to bribe Lake to stay out of politics for 2 years. And in the recording, first reported by the Daily Mail, DeWitt can be heard asking Lake to name her price, not to run. Quote, there are very powerful people, he said, who want to keep you out, he can be heard telling her in a conversation recorded last March. And then, asking her not to mention the conversation to anyone, he makes his first offer. So, the ask I got today from back east was, is there any companies out there or something that could just put her on the payroll to keep her out? Lake said she was taken aback, and the recording seems to show it. This is about defeating Trump, and I think that's a bad, bad thing for our country, she replied. Now, because there are no doubt listeners who just plain don't understand how corrupt politics has gotten and how interesting something like this is, because while your host has heard this before firsthand and otherwise for literally years at this point, I think a lot of Americans that, for example, had a tough time believing somebody like Tony Fauci would be allowed to be not only the high priest of science, but try to kill tens of millions or more people worldwide, or that a senile puppet could be installed by utter criminals in the highest, alleged at least, office in the land. Well, folks, suffice it to say, this recording is a pretty darn good summary of what we're up against, and as recordings like this go, it's reasonably audible, too. No doubt Carrie Lake took it, which is why you'll find her voice easier to understand, but we can hear enough of what the scumbag DeWitt is saying to really get a clear picture of why we are where we are. Here we go.
Is there a number at which...
I can be bought.
Not be bought.
That's what it's about.
You can take a pause for a couple of years.
No.
And then go right back to where you're
doing. No. 10 million, 20 million, 30, no, no, no. A billion, no. This is not about money. This is about our country.
And while that's a great sentiment, folks, it's far, far from the actual reality, as most of us know, and I'm sure she does too. Now, let me say it again. She's obviously recording this herself. She knows that this is something that she may, in fact, want to play for people later, so I can understand some of what might sound a bit self-serving, but at least he falls for it and goes all in. Keep listening.
I think it's disturbing that they would even... that anybody would think this is...
No, to be fair, even me, I'll say this. I want a fresh face right now. For the reason that I've never seen anyone, I can't think of a single person in a federal race who've lost, ran in and won. Mm-hmm. Can't think of it. If you can think of it, let me know.
I am not going to let these people who hate our country tell me not to run. You should call them and tell them to get behind me.
So then, evidently a bit later, she asks, tell me what's going on. I'm assuming this is, and she uses this term, our friend.
This is back east. There are very powerful people that want to keep you out.
I know they do.
But they're willing to put their money where their mouth is in a big way. So, this conversation never happened.
This is crazy, though. They should want me. I'm a great candidate. People love me. These people are corrupt.
Well, Maybe you're right.
They are right. They are corrupt.
Maybe. This is a rap. Don't go. Do me a favor, though. I'll get myself in trouble. This, if you say no, which is fine. It's your choice. Don't tell people.
They're going to try to have me murdered.
Not that either. Today's world, man. If that stuff that came out last week is right about the cartel stuff, man. They say the cartel's operating in 50 states right now. Like all 50.
Now listen to that again, too, because that is key. The cartels are operating in all 50 states. Does it sound like there's a threat in here?
If that stuff that came out last week is right about the cartel stuff, man. They say the cartel's operating in 50 states right now. Like all 50. So
what's going on? Who is it? What?
Forget the who. Let me just tell you the what. Let's just say there are people calling around saying, gosh, no, they can't repeat this. Never repeat this. If you say no, don't. Because I got offered to buy out. Don't. Because then we lose our ability to get things done in the future.
Well, it's been almost a year since this recording was evidently made, and something seems to have changed, because why is she coming out with it now? Obviously, the ability to get things done has been lost, or at least somebody's figured it out.
Here's my problem. Rather than just say, let's work with her, she's a great candidate, because they don't own me, and it pisses me off.
Yeah, it's not about ownership.
It's about control.
I don't know if it's about control. It's about being on the team. I guess that's it. You know what I mean?
They want to be on the team.
They want you to be on their team.
But
team. You know?
But if they're pushing a globalist agenda, I can't do that. So what do they want? What do they want me to do?
They want you to stay opportunist. What? I'll tell you what I can offer you.
I'm going to make them an offer again with you.
But, I said, you can do whatever you want. It's a talking head, isn't it? So, the ask of me was, it's kind of funny. So, the ask I got today from back east was, is there any companies out there or something that could just put her on the payroll and give her, to keep her out? And I said, well, what are you willing to do? Like, whatever we need to do.
This is about defeating Trump. And I think that's a bad, bad thing for our country. DeSantis is not America first. This is about the final death blow to Trump. And I don't think that's good for our country.
And you know, I love Trump. I love Trump.
It's not good for our country, Jeff.
It's not. But at the same time, I'm not even sure Trump can win again. I don't know that he can win again.
Quick aside here. Tell me something we don't know. They all know, and so does he, that the system is rigged, and whether he wins big enough to win is the only question.
I think what it really comes down to for a lot of people, not really about like control or agenda, it's just about the ability to raise money to win. You know, if you really want to know, all of politics boils down to money, I think. And even on their end, like what makes them the most money?
I know. All these consultants don't want their payday to end. And I don't want to make a deal with these kind of people. This is a hill worth dying on. They're going to steal the election to make me and our movement go away, I'm not letting them do that. I owe it to the people of Arizona.
Or.
To carry their torch and their voice.
Or. You don't go away. But you pause.
This is the battles right now, Jeff.
You pause. And you fill your coffers.
No, the battle is right now. The battle is right now, and we don't have time to pause on this battlefield.
You're not. You can't scratch their back. It's not for you.
Yeah.
You don't have anything to offer them. And they're sitting around people that have stuff to offer them. You know what I mean? It's a back scratching club. That's all DC is. It's a big back scratching club. You're in no position to scratch anybody's back, and you've already made it known that if you get there, you're not going to scratch anybody's back. I don't scratch people's back. You know, I've been on the outs with a lot of people for a long time, because I don't scratch backs.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Where are we in 2 years if they steal the election again?
Listen to what you're saying. Why don't we do something about it?
What?
So that we the people can pick our...
What can we do?
I'm not willing to accept that. And I'm going to be the biggest pain in these people. Go back and tell them that. I'm running... And I'm going to be the biggest pain in their
And I'm willing to tell them that.
And they're going to have to kill me. to stop me.
I know.
Oh, and just right there, maybe now you know why it is that the recording has been released now. She told an NBC reporter during Trump's New Hampshire primary victory party, quote, "He's got to resign. We can't have somebody who's corrupt and compromised running the Republican Party," unquote. And while that's, again, a nice sentiment, folks, we all know that it's a gross understatement. Which brings me to a story that ultimately very much is related, although in a whole different way. The other really interesting discussion that came out of that interview by Tucker Carlson with Kentucky Senator Rand Paul had to do with his new book called Deception, The Great COVID Cover-Up. And Tucker starts off with the obvious question, what do you think was covered up about the COVID plandemic? And the way I have rephrased that just a tiny bit, using that term, of course, which is pretty much verboten in the waste stream, plandemic, as opposed to what they claim it was instead, tells you exactly why it is that I'm curious about where Rand Paul is and how far he's come down the path of recognizing that, no, this wasn't just a straightforward act of cover your you-know-what, or even felonious perjury before Congress, or mere billion-dollar bribery and corruption. This was, and I think the facts as they come out make this increasingly undeniable, the greatest act of mass biological weapons genocide in human history. And he's getting there, but certainly taking his time and arguably building a pretty good case along the way. So what was the deception?
The fact that the U.S. government, at the behest of Anthony Fauci, funded it. The fact that they knew it was dangerous research and that they did not allow the research to go before the normal safety committee. See, we paused this dangerous research. They call it gain-of-function research, where you combine parts of two different viruses and you get a brand new supervirus that has never before existed. It's brand new. It doesn't exist in nature. You have created it, which is an amazing thing, but not a good thing. When you create these viruses, there's a danger they leak out from the lab. But we had funded that. So between 2014 and 2016, people became very worried that scientists were now aerosolizing, taking a virus that was 50% lethal, like Ebola, that spreads by bodily fluids like AIDS, so it's not as contagious just like sitting in a room, and saying, well, why don't we see, hey, let's see if we can mix it with this other virus and see if we can make it aerosolized.
Quick aside, and we know they have that on tap, folks. It's one of several candidates for what they intend to release next. You've heard the name. Just wait. Disease X.
They were doing that with the avian flu. The avian flu is deadly, but it mostly kills chickens, doesn't infect humans very well, but they're like, wonder if we can make the avian flu more infectious and see if we can transmit it through the air. And then they did. They did 8 targeted mutations, and so people freaked out. The whole scientific world did around 2012. 2014 to 16, they banned it. But during this period of time, Anthony Fauci continued to give exemptions to it. But here's the curious thing. The research in Wuhan is going on during this time. We've been funding research in China for a long time, but we keep funding it during the ban. But we can't find records of how they got the exemption. We know it had to go through Anthony Fauci. He says approved all of this research. We can't find it. They won't give us the deliberations.
Now, that was clever. He laid the trap, didn't spring it, but it's there.
They also set up a committee in 2017. They secretly reopened the door, no more ban, but there was a new committee, a pandemic safety committee that was supposed to review this. There's no way this research shouldn't have gone before the committee. And it didn't go before the committee. All of a sudden, it just, boom, it was getting done. So for 3 years, I've been asking, I want to see the deliberations that happened at the NIH. None of this is classified. It's just science research. It's now 5 years old. I want to see the deliberations on how you made and who made the decision to fund the research in China. But I still can't get it. So there's an elaborate cover-up.
And again, that was pretty well laid out. He explains part of the reason, at least, why I think he's been a bit late to the party. But the rest had to do with an article he read by Nicholas Wade. And his response?
Oh, my God, they created this in a lab.
And then eventually he realized, to paraphrase just a bit, just how culpable Fauci was in an act of genocide. Which, in a way, folks, is kind of a microcosm of what many people are now beginning, finally, to realize. And what we really should have never forgotten. This is war, good versus evil. And it really matters who you serve. Shabbat shalom, and may Yahuwah bless you and yours.